Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Smile3E Presents Let's Talk. And this is Cecilia, and we're on the line with Minister Sheila. And we have other people that are listening via Blog Talk and various other ways. So we thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for you all have woke up this morning and realized that this is a new day that the Lord has made and that his mercies are new every morning. And you also hear us constantly share with you Smile3E's foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so now I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila so that she can pray for us and share whatever the Lord has given her. Minister Sheila?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, God, I thank you, and I thank you. I thank you, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you, and I thank you for yet another day. You have blessed me with life. You have blessed me with your love. And you have blessed me with a mother, another day, another birthday, another day to love and praise and to cherish your name and to praise you, oh God. I thank you because I know if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't be here. You would none of us be here. I want to thank you, Lord, for each and every person on this earth this morning that you have blessed, even the animals, every living thing that you have blessed to give another day to another birthday, another day of life, another day of your love, to enjoy and to praise and to acknowledge that you are the one. You are the cause of us still being here. You are the one that has said, yes, I shall give you another day. Some that did not make today. Some might have been here last night. Some might have been here early this morning. Lord, forgive me. I want to thank you for right now. Some made it this morning, but some is not here now. Lord, I want to thank you for, excuse me. I want to say forgive me and excuse me, but I want to thank you for each and every human for right now. For now that we have been blessed with your life, but now you have given us life up to now. Lord, you have given us life. Lord, I thank you for every second, minute, day, split second, week, day, year, month. Lord, I just thank you for everything that you have blessed me with in life. I know we might be going through different things. Might be our health class. And I know I have been witness to that. I know I have been our financial life. And yet I have been witness to that yet. I know I might be on our job. And yet I have been witness to that too. But Lord, I thank you for each and every person. Just no matter what we're going through, you are the answer. No matter if it's your health, no matter if it's your finance, if it's your family, if it's your job, if it's your neighborhood, no matter what you're going through, give it to the hands of the Lord. And if there's any background noise, Lord, I mean, forgive us, because the Lord is having his discussion, and we're having a lot of thunder and lightning here. So that's letting you know that, hey, excuse me, he has the power in many ways. He can make things happen in many ways. Many things can happen in many ways. But however it happens, you need to thank the Lord. Thank God Almighty, and ask and pray and praise him to help you to understand, no matter what you're going through, how to deal with it, how to deal with it, what to do about it, how to do it, you know, how to take the demons and devils up out of you. Ask him, how do I miss use these demons and get them up out of me. Lord, teach me how to pray and to praise and to understand you. Lord, keep these demons, these devils, these hateful crime people, these hateful things that people are doing to each and every person that they care as a game, as a joke, as a way, as they say, of their life, which is the wrong way. Lord, we need you to remove these demons from us and take us into your hand, take us as a whole. Teach us how to deal with our health problems, our finance problems, our job problems, our family problems. Lord, whatever you have for us, you have for me, I thank you. Whatever you have for them, Lord, they should thank you. I want to thank you for each and every human being on this earth, for now that you have given us life to now. But Lord, I need you to help me to understand more of loving, caring, praying, annoying, acknowledging, excuse me, the ways that I need to live my life, things I need to do to praise your name, to please you, to love you more. Lord, I know after day and day and day go in and out, I still say I thank you because I know I haven't loved you enough. I haven't praised you enough. I haven't given you the love enough that you are needed. But Lord, I need you to teach me. So many of us out here need you to teach us how you want us to be. Lord, we need you to lead us into the footsteps that you want us to be. Lord, show us the way. Lord, show me the way. Lord, I thank you for my health problems you have brought me through, Lord. Jesus, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. And I know the devil's back there. If he was with me, he wouldn't be like that. You're right. If I was with you, I'd be so much worse. I wouldn't know which way to go, where I was going, how it is, what it is, who can and who can't. But, Lord, I thank you because I know with you I am here today. And doctors say, no way, it won't be, it can't happen. I just say, whatever the Lord has put you here to do, he has the last say-so. He has the last know-how. He has the last to say what's good for Sheila. He has the last to say what's good for all of us. Because I trust God. God, I trust you and I love you. I magnify you. But I look upon every day as a blessing. I say it's another birthday. It's another day. Every second of the day, it's a blessing. It's another that I'm birthed into. Lord, I need you to bless each and every one on this earth, to wake us up, to let us understand. It's your way. It's the best way. It's the only way that these demons and these devils is just trying to take the gratitude, the love, the honesty, and the pleasure from you that he cannot win. He cannot win through me. He cannot win through a lot of my spiritual sisters. He can't win through my spiritual family, my blood sisters. Lord, I thank you for Apostle like Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. I thank you for Prophet Antoine Thomas, for Pastor Troy Thomas, for Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I thank you for Dr. Serena Wright. I thank you for Minister Brandon Kaiser. Lord, I thank you for my daughters, my sons, my nieces, my nephews, my sisters, my brothers, my granddaughters, my grandsons, my spiritual family. Lord, I thank you. I'm going to thank you for each and every human living thing on this earth today. Lord, I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to thank you. If they're not thanking you, I'm going to thank you. I'm not going to be selfish and only thank for myself. But, Lord, I thank you for each of person that I come in contact, and I thank you, and I thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask you to bless me through this job I'm going to, Lord. I ask you to lead me the right way. Show me the right way to go. It's just the right one for me. Lord, I know many people are going through for jobs, finances, and health. Lord, I need you. I pray to you. I praise your name, Lord. I ask you for each and every one. Lord, show them the right way. Show us what's best for us. Lord, we need your guidance. We need your leadership. Lord, please show me. Lead me in the right way. Take my feet the right way. Take my eyes the right way. Direct my body. If I'm going left, it's all to go right. Lord, take me there. I need you and only you, that you know what's best for us. Not what we think is best for us. You know what's best for us. And Lord, I praise your name. I praise you for each and every human living thing on this earth. But Lord, I pray and ask you to show each and every one of us your way, the right way, how you want us to be. Send your guardian angels, Lord, send us to the right direction, through the right door, into the right direction, to which way is for you, Lord. We need your help, we need your guidance, we need your love, and we need your support. And Lord, we need you to bless all these men and women out in the streets with their drug addiction, with their alcohol addiction, with their gangs, as they call them. Lord, they need to be put into your gang. Ain't no gang. It's just your family. Lord, they need to be blessed. They need to be taught. They need to be led into the right way. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you, and I ask you to bless our law enforcement, because they are enforcing. Some is good, but some is mistreating and going the wrong way. Just because they have a badge, that they're not upholding the law the right way. Lord, we need your help through our government to make them understand that we are here for each and everyone, not just for ourselves. And the ones we want to help, Lord, they need to understand. Lord, please bless them to understand you for each and everyone, no matter what your color is, no matter what your sex is, no matter what you think of this person. We are all one person. We will forever be one person under the eyes and the life and the glory of God. Lord, we need your help. Each day I wake up, I thank you, not for myself, I thank you for each and every person, that they might wake up and understand without you, we are nothing. Without you, we will have nothing. Without you, our lives would be worse than the worst. Just because you didn't get what you wanted, it's not what you want. Ask God and thank the Lord for what you need. You need to bless, ask you. You need to ask him to bless you with what is needed. Many people, including myself, want. Oh, we want so much. Want this, want that. But yet, instead, let's ask God, pray to God and to Jesus to bless us what he knows is needed. It's good to have little toys and things to drive or ride or little things to have. But ask the Lord to bless you with the right toy. I have a motorcycle. I have a truck. I thank the Lord every day that he has blessed me to have those two toys that I love to ride. I love to drive. But I thank the Lord for them. And if I choose to thank him, I'm going to thank him. If I lose them, I'm going to still thank him. Because I know sometimes you have to lose things to get a better one. Sometimes you have to lose to understand that what you need is God's blessings. Sometimes we go out and get things that we want, know that we don't really need it, just want it. But what we need to do is ask God to bless us to get what He knows is best for us, transportation, or whatever it is. The ones on the bus, Lord, we ask you to bless them through their safety. We ask you to bless them walking down the street because some might get on the public transportation or walk out their door, Lord, and don't make it back home. Lord, I ask you to bless us. I'm going to say 48:14. I'm asking, Lord, to please, if it's in your power and your love, to bless me double time because I know I need to love you quadruple time. I need to praise you quadruple time, Lord. I ask you and I thank you and I thank you and I thank you and I'm going to forever thank you for every breath that you give me, for every second on this earth that you give me, Lord. I thank you for all that I have. I thank you for my sisters again, my brothers, my daughters, my granddaughters, my sons, because I know you bless me in a bloodline family that is so knowledgeable. And know that you are the way and the only way and the truthful way, Lord. I thank you. I cannot thank you enough. And I would say forgive me for not thanking you enough, for not loving you enough, for not praising you enough, for not reading your word enough. Lord, I ask you to help me to learn. I ask you to help so many more to learn the knowledge, the understanding, and the life that is better for us is from you, through you, and only you. And I want to thank you, and I want to thank you, and I want to thank you. And please forgive me because I know I'm still not thanking or loving you enough. Because you loved me. You loved us so much. You gave your only begotten Son. God, I thank you. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for our sins. I thank you for your life and giving us life that we need to learn to understand and to love and to praise and to treasure your life for our life. I thank you and I thank you. Oh God, hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you. For if it were not for you, I would not be. I thank you and I thank you and I thank you. Amen. Back to you, Apostle Greg, Dr. Cecilia Kiley.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sheila, for that prayer and those comments. Thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for Minister Sheila. I thank God for Minister Sylvia and their faithfulness with Smile 3E programs that we have, the ones that we continue to have on Sundays and Mondays and Fridays, which Minister Sheila will talk to you all about a little later in the broadcast. So today we're continuing on with our series that we've been discussing now for a few weeks, dealing with healing and dismantling the acts of hatred that have been institutionalized in America and other places. And so many of us have been blessed to go overseas, to Germany, to, you know, Iraq, Iran, various places like that. And some people have not had the opportunity to go anywhere other than the city or state that they live in, and sometimes their neighborhoods or wherever their families are. So we take it not for granted that God has blessed us to be able to do that. And so I'm thanking God for that. And so God gave me a rhema word today to start a group that talks about love and that I show it. So many times we say we love this person and we love that person, but our behavior, our attitudes, and even our time doesn't show it. How many times has someone been hungry and we haven't fed them? How many times has someone needed a roof over their head and we haven't shared it with them? How many times does someone just need a kind word and we didn't give it? How many times have we disliked someone, not because of what they've done to us, but because of what someone else said? How many times have we looked at a person because of their skin color, because of their size, because of where they live, because of where they don't live, because of where they work or where they don't work, or because of what they may do or what they don't do, or how they talk or their accent or their lack of hair or having too much hair or their features, their character and things of that sort? How many times have we even heard it from the White House to the church, to the classroom, to the neighborhood, to the bus, to wherever we've been, people putting out blatant words that not only showed hatred but encouraged hatred? So that's some of the things that we're talking about during this series, so that we can dismantle hatred that's shown in racism and sexism, ageism, prejudice, discrimination, jealousy, covetousness. And sometimes the covetousness is not really about hatred as much as it is that person wants what you want, or wants what you have, or wants what they see in you, whether it's the love of God, or whether it's a prayer life, or whether it's a job. So I thank God, and I thank God, as Minister Sheila said again and again. I was listening to a young lady share her testimony, and then I'm gonna tell you all about this, then I'm getting to the scriptures. And she talked about how she had performed all types of ludicrous and lewd behavior because she was determined to get out of a bad situation in a bad neighborhood. She did not want to be, as she said, in the hood anymore. She did not want to be in that type of environment anymore. She wanted to get out of it, and she wanted her children out of it. And so she, as she said, sold her soul to the devil in order to get out. And so she did all types of things that it wasn't that she was proud of them, not just that she was ashamed of them, but she was tired of it. And she said she can't do it anymore, that she was out, that she was not going to be a part of that anymore, because now she had what she had basically sacrificed for. She was able to get out of the hood. And I realized how grateful I need to be. I realized that growing up, me and my friends and family, especially Minister Silva, we were out dancing, and we were some of the best dancers in the club. My sister at one time was even a Taste Kitten, which is something that you would have to look up. Look up Taste Kittens at the Taste. So it was all types of dances and different things that we were doing, that we were able to dress a certain way, whether it was a cat suit, tight jeans, or whatever. And we were doing all of these things because not only did we love dancing, but we wanted to get out of the hood. We wanted to get out of the atmosphere of negativity and violence, and that for which there was oppression and suppression. And so it would have been so easy for us to get caught up in what the young lady was saying she used to get out of the neighborhood. Because, see, people followed us. It was like we were these type of neighborhood celebrities, or Chicago-type celebrities, and people went to clubs just to not only compete with us, but to learn the dances that we were making up. We made up dances. My parents sent us to jazz dancing, to African dancing, and all of these types of dancing, modern dances, and we used all of those styles of dancing in order to become what we were to the people in the neighborhoods and the various clubs. Well, see, someone could have got a hold of us and showed us how to make more money from that and how to get out of the neighborhood and things of that sort. We had a Farley, who was one of, and Derek, some of the number one DJs who were traveling all over, and they would have us to come there. They didn't charge us. They could have pimped us, but they didn't. They allowed us to come to the clubs because they knew the people were going to come. And you may say, well, that was a form of pimping, but hear me out. They could have had us do all types of lewd things in order to get in the clubs for free. See, we were getting into the clubs for free. We were going almost every day of the week except for one day. I mean, even when we grew up in the church, so we would leave from the church, go into the club. We would go to church because we knew, my mother said, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we had to go to church. She didn't go to church and leave us at home. She took us with her, and we knew that if we wanted to go out clubbing, we had to go to church. So we went to church. No, we didn't drink. No, we didn't do all the other stuff that everybody else was doing. You ain't see us snorting this or snorting that. A lot of people thought we got high. They thought we got drunk. We drank Coca-Cola and juices and things of that sort. But I'm saying all of that to say that many people that did some of the things that we did growing up, they were perverted. They were used and abused. And so it was a type of institutionalized perversion that is still going on, that has even moved into the various human trafficking and things of that sort. See, someone could have got a hold of us, because some of them did get a hold of some of our family members that ended up in prostitution and things of that sort. But see, that could have been me. That could have been me that got caught up in all of that institutionalized type of perversion and discrimination and prejudice to use people to do all these type of evil things. And so although I may not have been caught up in dealing with that, I am caught up in dealing with people that try to oppress me or do me wrong via institutionalized racism, institutionalized sexism. I am dealing with that. So there are some people that will sell their soul. There are people that are Uncle Toms and dealing with their slavery mentality because they want to get promoted. They want to do this and that, and which I'm going to share something that I wrote the other day on Facebook, but not right now. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that God allowed me to go through the grade that I'm in now, and he allowed me to go through it without me oppressing and suppressing my brothers and my sisters. He allowed me to get there without doing my brothers and my sisters wrong. See, some people have made it up the corporate ladder through oppressing the people that look like them, that sound like them, that came from where we came from. Because, see, a lot of people that are dealing with institutionalized racism and sexism, they get it twisted. They think just because this person or that person is carrying them along that they're not a racist and that they're not this or that, but they are. But they've become skillful in their oppression and their suppression, that they know how to, if I bring along the right Uncle Tom, or if I bring along, excuse me, this person or that person, it'll look like I'm not an oppressor or a suppressor because I do have my token. Some people call them the N-word, but I'm not going to say that. They do have their token, this or that, to make it look like they're not that. But let that person that's their token speak up against a behavior or a suppression or an oppression or an institutionalized puppeteering that they're doing, and watch and see how quickly they let them go. See, I've been there where the people try to use me against my own people, but I said no. I've been there where people try to manipulate me because they were keeping me so busy that I couldn't see their microaggressions. I couldn't see their prejudiced ways because I was so busy working. See, that's a strategy, too, to keep you so busy that you can't see that you are part of the oppression and it's oppression yourself. But see, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my, kept my eyes on him. And so as I come across these things and I look back over my life and I realize how strategically God protected me, how strategically God covered me, how strategically God promoted me, how strategically God gave me the ability to get these various skills and these various talents and competencies, that when I went to apply for jobs and they wanted to pick their golden boy or their golden girl, they weren't able to. But see, there also needs to be known that I was also dealing with people that look like me, people that sound like me, even came from where I came from, or maybe never came from there, because maybe they always grew up in an environment where they were the only one, the only person of color. And so they were kind of spoon-fed. They received that golden spoon that allowed them to go from here to there. That's not my story. I've struggled. I've been in those places where I was the only black woman or woman, period, and I'm in a group of all men, and so they were against me because I was a woman. And I've been in those groups where I've been a black woman, so then they were against me because I was a certain race, which there's only one human race, but I was a certain ethnicity or from a different culture than them, so they came after me. So I'm dealing with the sexism and the racism. I've dealt with it in college. I dealt with it in the military. I deal with it in the government on a daily basis. But the one thing I must say, God all the time reminds me that the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's. God reminds me on a constant basis that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, thou shalt condemn, for this is the heritage of the Lord. See, you wanted some scripture? There's some scripture. God has reminded me that he, just like he did for Daniel, when he's getting ready to bless me and there might be a war going on in the heavenlies to block that blessing, that I still got to stand firm on the word of God. I still got to stand firm on what God has promised me and realize that I need to thank him for every victory. He brought me through working with all of those 10 men that were against me. They had one Uncle Tom that would work with them, but then he would be in the background, acting like he was trying to be on my side when in actuality he was a part of the problem. And so God allowed me to see it and to still do right by him. There's people that I still do right by that I know are not only gossiping and backbiting and doing me wrong, but I do just like Jesus did because he's my example. In order for me to be Christ-like, I have to follow his example. He knew that the people were going to do this or that for them, but he still died for them. He knew that he was going to be betrayed by Judas, but he still died for him. He still tried to give him an opportunity to get it right. But he made a decision on his own, Judas, not to stay within the fold. So we have to realize that we will deal with situations and circumstances that when we look back over our lives, we'll see how far God has brought us. And we'll know that we, without a shadow of a doubt, I can say that my education and where I'm at now in this doctoral program and the degrees and the job situation and everything else that's good and perfect in my life is because of God. Everything that I've triumphed is because the battle was not mine, it was the Lord. But he taught me to keep on my whole armor. I had to have on the whole armor of God because, see, if you don't, and when you take off a certain piece, you know, your foot may get stumped. So you got to stay in perfect peace of God and in his word. And so you got to have your whole armor on because, see, God's got your back. Don't worry about that. But, see, sometimes you'll take down your shield because you trust somebody and you end up scarred. You end up damaged. You end up having to deal with collateral damage that shouldn't even come nigh thee. For the word of God says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. So because he's my refuge and my fortress, because he covers me with his wing, and because many shall fall on my right hand and on my left hand, but it won't come nigh me, because he has his angels encamped around me, I have to know that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So although these things are happening, you have to realize that somebody's watching you. You're a walking, living epistle. You're a testimony read of men because they see the things that you've gone through. They've heard the things that you've dealt with. And they know that even years ago when the enemy tried to kill me, when I went through the windshield and I was in a coma and I had to learn to walk again, even when he tried to kill me, even when he tried to make it where I was disabled, yes, there's things that I may still have problems with, whether it's dealing with things with my throat or my intestinal system or various things that I still have the scars from when I went through the window, and I still, you know, have the sciatica issues, and I still have the various issues that I went through the various things and times that I dealt with various circumstances while I was in the military. So, yes, I still have those things that I deal with, but there's somebody that still can't walk. There's somebody that's still in a coma. There's somebody who wish they could just have to hesitate when they talk. See, my. When that songwriter wrote that song, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I got a testimony. I have testimonies because I've been tested. and I've been tried, and because of the blood of Jesus, because of the stripes of Jesus, because of God and his angels that are encamped all around me, I've made it through. I'm still yet making it through in the various levels. People, different levels, different devils. Of course, the enemy, just like some people, well, let me put it this way. Let me do it another analogy. The enemy doesn't sleep because he's walking about seeing whom he can devour. And so then he's, while you're asleep, he's still walking about to see whom he can devour. The enemy's tactics and strategies are nonstop. But guess what? So is God. God got you when you're awake. God has you when you're asleep. So, yes, the enemy may be using this person for evil and this person for evil and that person for evil, because we know in the world that it's different times in different places. It's not just Eastern Standard Time and Central Standard Time. There's Pacific Standard Time. There's other types of time. And so while we're sleeping, others are awake. So there's people that are constantly walking around committing evil and even praying as a group for evil. But see, the God that we serve also has people that are up, those women of Zion that are crying out, and they're praying for us. So we have to know that we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are victorious. There's a song out that says we are victorious. We have to know this. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" You've been given this from God. You've been given this Holy Spirit from God. You've been given this body from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Galatians 5:17. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do." So let's talk about some of the things that the people want to do, because they are the actual agents of the enemy. One of the things that I wrote on Facebook back on 27 July, I realized that institutionalized racism and sexism are each rooted in pride, insecurity, prejudice, evil, and so much more. Therefore, I have a few questions for you. Why is there so much self-genocide amongst many minorities in the workplace? It's like a type of black-on-black crime in the workplace that has carried over from the streets, impoverished areas, a slavery mentality of selling out the other, and other venues of self-hate amongst cultures. Please share your thoughts. Help me understand why I see so much jealousy and hatred amongst minorities, lack of unity, backbiting, gossiping. Why? Why do we see this so much? And more evil between some cultures and clergy, religions, in the workplace, other places, even beyond the neighborhood. Where is the unity and love? Shouldn't unity and love abide richly, especially amongst the minorities that look alike, instead of a type of when they see you, when they see us, even amongst us, that looks like when we see us, you know, that black-on-black crime, that Hispanic-on-Hispanic crime? Why? Help me understand for real. Yes, we need to love everyone. So can we start with each other? Unity and love are both overdue. This is an emergency and clarion call. It's time for me to collect. So I am starting by loving you and with you on purpose. So today I started a group, and that group says, The title of it is I Love You and I Show It. How does what you do demonstrate to your friends and your families and your neighbors and even strangers that you are a beacon of love sent from God? There was this other post that God blessed me to put on the page, on my page. It said, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. And I thank God for that. Because we need to realize that we need to pray for people. We need to even talk about these events and these situations dealing with institutionalized racism and sexism and things of that sort. But we also need to know that God has given us a great mind to discuss ideas. And so one of the ideas that God gave me was starting a group that talks about how we love one another. How many people allow their elderly families to be misused and abused? I know this couple where the young lady spends a lot of time with her mom and her dad, and she even gets her husband to spend time with her mom and her dad. But her husband doesn't spend time with his parents. Her husband doesn't even understand that he himself is dealing with a type of institutionalized prejudice. For he is allowing the wife to show him how to love her family and how she loves her family, but she's also manipulated and coerced him into separating himself from his loved ones. She's institutionalized him. And if it's connected to the church, then that means that even the church is connected to a type of cult. So, therefore, the group, I Love You and I Show It, is not only for them, but for her to realize that she's practicing prejudice and discrimination, and for him to realize that he's been bamboozled and fooled. And so one of the things that I wrote on Facebook said, greetings, family and fellow warriors. Read this and pray about this, and pray these scriptures as well. As God continues to shield and protect me, deliver me, and equip me for and from battlefields, arsenals, and weapons of institutionalized racism and sexism and prejudice and cunning discriminations and microaggressions within these warfares, God has revealed to me that many of these people that look like me and us that are being used by institutionalized puppeteers, it's because they're doing it because they basically maximize learning how to brainwash people to deal with slavery mentality. Others are doing it because they're greedy and they're selfish. Others are doing it because they want to be promoted at any cost. Others are doing it because they are part of the diabolical plan and strategies and motives and agendas of the enemy and his imps that wants to steal our souls. Therefore, these people are merely only signs and symptoms of the diseases, right, the diseases of the puppeteers, the diseases of the puppeteers' infestation of institutionalized racism, institutionalized sexism, institutionalized ageism. These are diseases that cause infestations of hatred and people to walk around with weapons of warfare, of hatred and greed and slandering and lying on one another or hating one another, when all you need to do is just remember that God has given us a gift to defeat all of this. It's called love. It's called prayer and supplication. It's called confronting the issues with God's wisdom and his word. It's called seeking God for the cure and for the healing of this, of these diseases, of this warfare that's evil and ungodly. See, the God that we serve teaches us not, don't just focus on the signs and the symptoms, but get to the root cause of that disease. Get to the root cause of that war. Get to the root cause of that evil. Cut it down at the root. Get the axe of the word of God and cut it down at the root through prayer and supplication, through love. Don't be timid during a season like this. Don't try to ignore it, hoping that it won't come near you and that it'll go away. This battle, we know that it's not the Lord's, but we still must remember to keep our arsenal fully loaded that he's given us. That means we need to remain in the whole armor of God. That means that we have to pray. That means that we have to know what the whole armor of God is. We need to pray, knowing that there are several pieces of armor that God has given us to be equipped while he's equipping us to take care of the dismantling of hatred, of the dismantling of institutionalized racism and sexism, and these cults that are manipulating people out of love. You know, you got to keep on your loins girded with truth, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have to have your shield of faith. You have to have your helmet of salvation. You have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You have to have prayer and supplication. I have said over and over again, this is one of the things that I ask God for. Be it unto me according to your word, God. Not my will, but your will be done. Because, see, as my Father God sends his warring angels that are encamped all around me, and he gives me his word that cannot return unto him void, I must remember that the battle is not mine, but it is the Lord's. But although it's not, God's going to give me victories in the midst of the battle. So I have to keep on my armor. I have to walk in the love of God. Even if someone does you wrong or speaks wrong to you, are you going to give them back what they gave you, or are you going to give them the love of God? Yes, God will allow you to be able to defend yourself in other ways. That's why you have on the whole armor. That's why you have the word. That's why God has taught us various things and tactics to defend ourselves, whether it's in a court of law or whether it's in an institution where they're having their puppeteers and cause all type of racism and prejudice and things of that sort. Even in those cases, he's given us laws that teaches that we cannot hate someone and discriminate against someone just because they don't look like us, talk like us, or act like us. And even those that are being the signs and symptoms of the diseases, even those that are being the weapons that are being used against one another, we have to realize that those too, those people can change. Just like that lady shared her testimony about how she was so desperate to get out of the inner city. She was so desperate to get out of the hood, the things, the diabolical and little things that she did to get out. Where there's some people in these institutions that are doing the same thing because they want to be promoted. They're doing it for greed. They're doing it for other reasons. And some of them are doing it just out of fear. They are afraid of the puppeteers. They're timid. They're hoping that, okay, if I do it their way, it won't come nigh me. But remember this, that sometimes the puppeteers are going to use you, and then when they don't, they're not able to use you anymore, then you yourself are going to now become a subject of their arsenal, a subject and focus of the warfare. So don't get it twisted. Sometimes they'll even turn on you. And you're sitting there wondering why now no one can, support you or help you because you gone against all those people. But know that you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt. Turn from your wicked ways. Just like they did in 2 Chronicles 7. Turn from your wicked. Turn back to God. And when you turn back to God, whether you've been a sign, a symptom, and an agent of the devil, of the diseases, of the warfare, or you're that oppressor, you're that puppeteer, you're that person that is using the people to promote institutionalized racism and sexism and division and lack of unity. You're that person that's just teaching division because sometimes you're just hating on anyone, no matter what their color is, no matter what it's, because they're going against your agenda. And it's evil. It's not of God. It's from the pit of hell, and we cast it back into the pit of hell, that it will be seen no more. For this enemy we see today, we will see no more. Institutionalized racism, go in the name of Jesus. Institutionalized sexism, go in the name of Jesus. Institutionalized ageism, go in the name of Jesus. Prejudice, discrimination, go in the name of Jesus. We cast you out. We cast you down in the name of Jesus. For the love of God and unity and the love of his people and his creation and the worship of God and worshiping him in spirit and in truth, the love of God, seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, shall abide. As we abide in him and he abides in his word, we'll be continuing this same series on next week. And I thank God for each and every one of you who have heard the word on today and received it thereby. This is the word of the Lord. This is what God has given us to teach on. This is what God has given us to preach on. God wants us to walk in unity. God wants us to walk in love. God is not asking us. He has told us. He has commanded us to love our neighbors. He's commanded husbands and wives to love one another. God has commanded this. And so because God has commanded it, we must obey it. Be it unto me according to your word is what we're to obey and what we are to live and what we are to say. If you haven't heard anything else on today that has been said, know that God wants us to abide in love. God wants us to abide in unity. He wants us to love our sisters, love our brothers, love our neighbors. Why? Because he loves us. Even though they hated Jesus, he still died for the very people that said, crucify him. Can you do that? The people on your job that are saying, crucify her. The people on your neighborhoods or wherever you go that are saying, crucify him. Can you love them? Can you bear your cross on today? That institutionalized racism and sexism that will be dismantled because the love of God will never, ever be defeated. In Jesus' name, Minister Sheila, I turn the program over to you for you to make the announcement and for you to close out the program and whatever else the Lord has given you on today.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle Elect, for those encouragement and truthful and needed words. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and to let each and every one know, no matter what it is, God is the answer. No matter what you're going through, give it to God. Put it in God's hand and his Son, Lord Jesus, that they can show you things, take you through things that you could never imagine. Don't let the devil convince you that he can make it ill, that you're going through all these problems because you're not with him. The devil will take your weakness and use it against you. Like I said, take your family, take the people on your job, your neighborhoods. He will use all that he can to break your faith, to break your spirit, to break your life, to go with him and deprive yourself the best life, the best living, the best knowledge, the best teacher, father, and son through God and the Son, Lord Jesus. So I want to thank you and thank you and thank you for those words, for possibly that Dr. Cecilia Kaiser. And I want to thank and ask each and every one of you to please don't turn your life upside down. Don't stand on your head when you can walk on your feet, walk up the stairs to heaven, walk through the life with God. Don't let the devil turn your life upside down, turn you sideways. However, you walk in sideways when you can be walking straight. No matter what it is, God can take you through whatever it is, and he can make it better. Just want to say thank you, thank you. And I want to ask each and every one of you to understand God is the way. The Father and the Son is the way of the life and to joy forever and ever. I just want to ask, is anyone on the line that might have anything to say? Or if you need a prayer or announcements or anything, I give you the time to speak it now. I want to thank you, and I want to thank you, and I thank you, however you're listening, to let you know to thank God and to praise him. That's the best way of life you can have. And I want to thank each and every one of you. And ask you to tune in each and every Sunday morning. The Apostle Elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and I'm Minister Brandon Kaiser. So let's talk at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also on Monday nights with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser, at Iron Sharpened Iron at 8 p.m. Eastern Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also some nights we're on Facebook with Dominated Speakers, Dynamic Speakers, men and women of God that have the teaching that will send you through the heavens of prayer and acknowledgement. And on Friday nights with Minister Sylvia Kaiser on Facebook, Sylvia Kaiser Wright, and me, Minister Sheila Kaiser with Blog Talk, with Let's Talk on Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. With Let's Talk again on Blog Talk and Facebook to get to the acknowledgement of passing through the lines and Facebook to let the people know without God, your life, it's not where it should be. Without God and the Son, Lord Jesus, your life cannot be what it could be. But we need the love and the life and the guidance of our Father God and the Son, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for listening to us and to remember our scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be granted unto you. Excuse me if I'm misquoting the words, but yet we all understand that to speak to God in heaven, to bless us all, to lead us the way that we have life today because of him. And I just want to thank you and thank you and thank you. But to know we all love you through God and through our Son, his Son, my brother, the Father, your Father, my Father, God, I thank you and I thank you to keep us all, to help us understand that you are the way and you are the only way. And I thank you and I thank you and I thank you. May you all have a blessed and safe day. And to remember, keep God first in the Son, Lord Jesus. And you shall be first with those and with him. Thank you, and have a blessed day.